is to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see each and every one of you, especially those that are visiting with us. We thank you for coming. We hope that we make you feel welcome and that you'll be with us at every opportunity that you have. And it's good to see the members gathered together this morning, from the youngest ones all the way to the oldest ones, especially our young people and our children and our infants. It's always good to see you. I know the task, and Tracy knows more than me, of readying not only yourself, but getting the little ones ready and then coming to service. And that can be very taxing, trying. And you could have said, I'm not going to do that, but you did that. And we commend you for it. We hope that you'll continue to do that every opportunity you have. God is God and we are not. And we need to learn that very quickly. Quicker we learn that, the better off we'll be. And God being God and us not, it's His right to condition His blessings upon any condition that He sees fit. And throughout the Bible, the blessings of God have often been stipulated on conditions. We live in a religious world that the thinking of so many people is that there are no conditions. But yet they are quick to say that one must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in order to be saved. Well, that's a stipulation. That's a condition. And by the way, to believe is an action. It's something that you must do. And we read that throughout the Bible, like in Acts chapter 16, when the jailer said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy household. But then they preached to him. And he responded in obedience to the message that was proclaimed before him. I appreciate Ethan and the good scripture reading that he did from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. That teaches us, as Israel was taught, that the conditions that God placed upon them was very clear. If you keep my commandments, you'll be blessed. If you fail to keep my commandments, you'll be cursed. By the way, the book of Lamentations is a good companion to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Because sure as time came, in process of time, they were disobedient to the commands of God. And as a result of that, then they had the curses that were pronounced upon them if they were to be disobedient. So they had no one to blame but themselves. If you were to look the word stipulation up, you know what a condition or stipulation is. But just to make sure we all do, we're on the same page, it's defined as a condition, a demand, or promise in an agreement or a contract. And so the Bible gives us many, several various stipulations. I've got 20 in the outline. If you picked one out there in the back, we're not going to do all 20 points this morning. We'll do 5 this morning, 5 tonight. We'll change gears perhaps next week. And then 2 weeks from now, we may do 5 more, and then the next 5. And so you get your hand out and you hang on to that, because that's going to be at least 4 sermons, unless my mind changes, and I don't think it will concern that. But I want us to think about all the stipulations that we're going to consider in the sermon this morning. The ones we're going to look at are stipulated using the word if. Now, those are not the only stipulations you find in the Bible. In other words, when a stipulation is given in the Bible, it is not always with the word if. Sometimes you find then and that statements in the Bible. Those are conditions that you can run across that does not use the word if. But all of these that we're going to look at uses the very simple word if. And the first one I want you to think about is found in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 11. All these are so simple. No use in making it complicated, right? Gospel preaching needs to be simple so the youngest to the oldest will have no problem getting a handle or a hold on it. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now, he uses the word if, but the Bible pronounces a curse on an individual that does not preach the truth. If any man speak. Now watch this. If you're going to open your mouth, you need to preach what the Bible says. You agree with that? I think of the statement over in the book of Galatians, chapter 1. And we'll look at this more in another point. But he talks about the fact that Paul had marveled that they were so soon removed from him who had called them under the grace of Christ into another gospel. Which Paul says is not another. But if there be any man that would preach unto you any gospel other than what we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You see that? Curse means given over to the wrath of God. So if we preach, we must preach what the Bible says. Now the religious world, you think, would expect nothing else, but yet they accept plenty that is contrary to that. A lot of times they are surprised to hear book, chapter, verse, Bible preaching and nothing else. And the reason for that is because they are so accustomed to Bible teachers and preachers, so-called, teaching their own opinion or what they think or what they might feel about it. We can't do that. You want Bible preaching, right? In Colossians chapter 3 and then verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by or through Him. Watch what you say, Bible class teachers and preachers and all of us. It's important. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and then verse 1. Notice what the wise man penned in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, again, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now jump down to verse 7 and notice what he mentions. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Some folks never seem to learn the difference, do they? Of when it's time to speak and when it's time to keep silent. You know, both of those need to be learned. We need to learn when to keep our mouth closed. And I know that's the case because the book of Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 28, notice what he says. Or actually, let's go Proverbs 10 verse 19 first. Proverbs chapter 10 and in verse 19. In the multitude of words, now watch this. In the multitude of words, there wanteth or lacketh not sin. Learn when to close or refrain from speaking. And again, over in Proverbs 17, verse 28, someone says, well, so-and-so is very wise. They don't say very much. Well, even a fool knows when to do that from time to time. You can't always tell a smart man by the fact that he doesn't say a whole lot. Don't take my words for it. Notice verse 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. A point is that there are times when we need to be quiet, and there are times when we need to learn that we need to speak up. You agree with me? If any man speak, let him speak as oracles of God. Come with me to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, for our second point. 2 Peter, chapter 1. And we're going to begin with verse 5. 2 Peter 1, 5. And beside this, in all diligence, add to your faith. And he's writing to those that have obtained like precious faith. Christian people, 2 Peter 1, 1. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. All these virtues, a lot of times are referred to as Christian virtues. The word Christian is never used as an adjective in the Bible, never. So don't use it that way. It's a noun. It's talking about people, not characteristics. If these things... Now, what's verse 8 for our point? For if these things be in you and abound... So what about it? If they be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an instrument shall be administered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If these things be in you, you may say, preacher, I want to abound. I want to not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then these things must be in you and abound. How are you doing on these things? Have you added to your faith the things that he lays out in this passage? I hope we all have. If these things be in you, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. And a good reference to that is Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. If any man speak, if these things be in you, see the condition? Watch verse number 3, right? Point number 3. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these, taken from 1 Timothy chapter 4, and then verse 6. Paul's writing to Timothy, doing the work of a preacher. And he says this, 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, now watch, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. From time to time, some may wonder, why on earth do gospel preachers preach the same thing when I've already heard it? Well, number one, just because you've heard it doesn't mean the person beside you, in front of you, or behind you has not heard it. Or it doesn't mean that they have heard it, rather. And just because you remember it doesn't mean that other people still remember it. And so if I want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, and I do, then guess what I've got to do? I've got to put the brethren in remembrance from time to time, because we tend to forget, don't we? We tend to forget. Israel forgot. That was one of their problems. They forgot about God. They forgot about the things God had done. One of the reasons they had forgotten is because the teachers failed to teach. We've got to put people in remembrance of things, though you already know them. And when Peter was writing, of course he's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Notice what he penned over in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, begin with verse 12. Peter penned, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Now think about what he's saying. Peter says, I'm not going to be neglecting what I'm supposed to be doing. Neglectful. I'm not going to be negligent. Peter, how would you be negligent? By failing to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. And so one of the things that I'll keep doing as a preacher is to keep preaching it and preaching it and preaching it, though you know it, and be established in the present truth. That's important. And we see the results of a failure to do that in a number of different ways today. In verse 13 he says, yea, I think it me, that means appropriate or suitable, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, in this earthly body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that surely I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor. That means I'll work, I desire, that ye may be able after my decease. Now Peter says, I'm not going to be neglectful to do these things. I'm not going to be negligent. I'm going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I'm going to keep doing that, he says. But then he says, moreover, I will endeavor, I will work, that ye may be able after my decease, after I'm dead, to have these things always in remembrance. There are things that I want to preach, and I want to preach in such a way that folks will remember them after I'm dead and gone. And I hope you'll do the same. You want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, and we have several here. Capable men, doing a good job, preaching the gospel, even our young men, teenagers and older. Some, even not even a teenager, does a good job. When we participate together in doing those sermons, you are preaching the gospel of Christ, sowing the good seed of the kingdom. Number four. Acts chapter 15, there was a problem that was discussed. Some had troubled the disciples, telling them that except they be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, again, I'll be saved. And the apostles and elders came together to consider this and wrote a little epistle back to the brethren, back to the Christians of what they ought to do. In Acts chapter 15, verse 29, the Bible says, among other things, that they had wrote, Acts 15:29, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. By the way, no mention of circumcision in Acts chapter 15 that they had to keep. And so that ought to teach you that the law of Moses is not binding, because when they sent back to the brethren and told them what they must do, they didn't say, be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. But nonetheless, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. Now, if they wanted to do well, then they had to abstain from these things. And I want to suggest to you that if we want to do well, if we want to be right, we've got to abstain from some things that the Bible says to abstain from. And there's some things that we've got to keep ourselves in. Like in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, Paul writes to Timothy and says, keep thyself, you know the rest of that? Very general. Keep thyself pure. How pure are you this morning? Don't have to answer to me. You won't stand or fall before me, but before God. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And over in the book of Jude, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. You got to keep yourself from some things and in some things if you're going to be right in the sight of God. See that stipulation? Divine stipulations. One more point. In Romans chapter 6, the book of Romans chapter 6, we're going to begin with verse 1. You've got to keep in mind the context when you're reading the Bible in general, especially in passages like Romans chapter 6. You get the whole picture before you. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin, and he's writing to Christians, and he's telling them, we are dead to sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Let me point out something that is so simple that you have to have help to misunderstand it. And a lot of people in the religious world have a lot of help and they miss the mark of Romans chapter 6. Notice that he says in verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him. Now remember that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again. He was buried and he rose again to die no more. You understand that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 5 talks about the gospel in a general sense, talks about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. He's talking about baptism with these at Rome, these Christians being buried with Christ. Now watch this. Therefore, we are buried with Christ. Now, it's going to talk about raising to walk in newness of what? The new man. Like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, we'll talk about that point in another sermon. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now watch this. Therefore, we are buried with Christ. When are we buried in Christ? So that the new man can raise from the dead. Therefore, we are buried with Christ in baptism. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Now watch the stipulation, last one, this morning. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death. Now I ask you, when is it that we are planted together in the likeness of Christ? When we are buried with Him in baptism. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Got to be dead to sin. You're buried with Christ in baptism to raise to walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we can be in the likeness of His resurrection. The problem is that the religious world wants to say that you can take the old man, and when he believes, that's all he's going to do. And now he's the new man. So they take the old man, say that he's the new man, and we'll baptize him later now if he wants to be. And so in essence, what they're saying is you take the old man, he believes and now he's the new man, and we're going to bury the new man so he can arise to walk in newness of life, but they had newness of life back here before he was buried. See how mixed up that is? Contrary to what Romans 6 says, you've got to be baptized. If you've been planted together in the likeness of His death, you shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. I ask you this morning, have you been buried with Christ in baptism so that you can be the new man? So that you can be raised to walk in newness of life? You might say, preacher, how do I do that? How do I become a child of God? Well, it's real simple. You do what they did in New Testament times to become a Christian. It's never changed. Never will change. You become a Christian by hearing the gospel, Romans 10, 17, believing it, John 8, 24. Repenting of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Acts 8, 37, and be buried with Christ in baptism, Acts 2 and then verse 38. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord and you want to come home. Repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.